Right, we are here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Trade Talk with the Renewable Fuels Association. With me is Robert White, and we are going to talk a little bit about E15. Well, we finally got some stations selling E15 this year after all that delay in getting it happen. Where are we at as far as E15?
Well, we do have E15 being sold through the conditions of the waiver now in four states. It'd be Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota. While progress has been slow, it is progress. And the healthy misinformation campaign that went along with the long wait from EPA on the approval did its work, and it was very successful. And so we're having to go back in and re-educate marketers, curb some of the concerns that are out there from liability to I already have a product that those vehicles can use. There is a business case for E15, and thankfully, a few marketers are taking that first step to set the example.
All right. Well, how are their sales going?
Well, most of them thus far, I'm waiting for a report this week, have seen their sales in the 20 percentile. So with premium sales well in the single digits, E85 sales, you know, hovering around 10% or 15% for most, breaking the 20% mark is a big feat, and one that I thought personally would take months. But the one thing that's very true about E15 is when 65% of the cars on the road today can use it, it's a large demographic. It's over 80% of all fuel sales could be E15. The sales can add up very quickly. And what consumers are finding is it's a higher octane, lower priced product that has the same performance benefits. And really, to date, most people are seeing no difference in fuel economy, especially from E10. So it seems to be a true win-win.
We had a presence of RFA at a new event this year at CARS, the Congress of Automotive Repair and Service folks, and it was exciting. I was there. You weren't. But it was a great event, and I really thought, and Bobby Likas is a heck of a spokesperson for you guys. How is that? How do you see this as a real important audience to reach with the message of ethanol?
Well, there's an old rule of thumb that when people are asked who they take advice from on their cars, it's usually their dad and their automotive technician. And while that scares me a little bit in some situations, the auto technicians and service mechanics for more than a decade have, in most cases, been against ethanol. And it's not really been fact-based. Most of them have never even had an experience. But ethanol became the quick scapegoat for anything from wipers to low air pressure, everything non-fuel related. In fact, if you go back through the archives of the early 80s, when there actually was a number you could call with ethanol-related problems, there was an air conditioner complaint more than 30 years ago on a product that had no possible way of affecting. So we know that nothing has changed or little has changed, and the automakers have done their best to produce better vehicles that can run on these newer blends and all the way up to E85 for now 14 model years. But the disconnect is very apparent when you get down to an independently owned service shop or even at the automotive dealers. And Bobby Likas is one of our tools that we have used. We've had the changes in gasoline manual for almost a decade now that just shows them and educates them on areas of their SAE training that fail to understand what changes ethanol has made and how they are truly not negative.
Well, the end of the year is almost upon us. 2013 is ahead. Got E15 sales increasing. Hopefully we're going to maintain the RFS. What are your goals and challenges ahead for 2013?
Well, what we're working on right now is state by state ensuring that E15 is approved for sale and obviously sold in a safe manner. And we've actually even brought on some consultants to help get through more states in a faster fashion. And that process is well underway. And our goal is, once that process is started and we can see light at the end of the tunnel of each state, the market development side will move in, educate retailers on more of a face-to-face ground-level attack, and we'll see those tangible benefits and we'll see the expansion continue. And we're obviously talking with some major players out there that could make 1,000 station decisions that right now many of them are in a wait-and-see mode. Of course, we have this naysayers that say this will never be successful, but it's the same excuses, the same logic that we saw with E10. It took time, but obviously 95% of all fuel sold today contains 10% ethanol, so we know it can happen.
Robert, that's all the specific questions I have. Is there anything else you want to add? Anything else you want to hit on?
No, we just encourage folks that are listening, if you have a retailer that you already have a relationship with, let us or introduce us so we can have that face-to-face meeting. Cold calls are we can do, but it's always nice to have a relationship, and we're here to help.
Good point. All right. Thank you very much. Robert White here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Trade Talk. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.